Well, thank you, Mr. Hawk. Good afternoon, everyone, and happy Sabbath to all of you. I'd also like to welcome the visitors we have with us today. Great to have you with us here in Akron, Canton, this beautiful August Sabbath. I'd like to welcome those on the webcast as well, wherever you may be. Hope your Sabbath is restful. But tomorrow morning, as campers and staff at Camp Heritage pack up and head home, the church's summer camp program comes to an end for another year. Now, there have been 6 preteen camps and 5 teen camps throughout the past several months, and the camp program for this year ends with a winter camp in Wisconsin at the end of December. The church's camp program has been one of the most beneficial and most successful programs for the preteens and the teens over the past years, and this year was no exception. We had an outstanding camp this year at Camp Arrowhead here locally, and the reports from all other camps agree that this year was another great year for our summer camp program. This was my 29th time to serve on staff at camp, and once again I returned home from camp somewhat exhausted and wore out physically, but spiritually recharged. Energized not only by the overall atmosphere that we have at camp, but by the excitement and the commitment that we see in our teens and our preteens, that they want to learn about God and about His way and to follow His way in their lives. It is a time when you can feel the presence of God's Spirit in a group of people gathered together, similar to what we may experience at the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, as in the past years, there was a theme for camp this year that all the staff are encouraged to help reinforce in their activities and in their discussions with their dorms. Now, for those of us who are asked to give Christian living classes at camp, the theme is on our mind for weeks before camp begins. Zach Smith's split sermon last week was most of what his message was for this week at Camp Heritage. You may remember that he mentioned that I would be talking about this year's camp theme as well in my message today. All of the Christian living classes focus on the camp theme, which this year is vision, seeing clearly in a clouded world. Now, this certainly has helped everyone who attends camp to better remember the camp theme. As an introduction and a backdrop for the remainder of my message today, I would like to give a brief review of my Christian living class from this year. Now, I began by testing the campers' memories a little and seeing if they remembered the theme from 2 years ago at camp in 2015. And I was shocked to see how many remembered. Maybe not completely word for word, but they remembered that the theme from 2015 was Pearl of Great Price, Find It and Keep It. And then I asked if they remembered the theme from last year, and again, it was amazing to see how many knew last year's theme was Foundation for Life, Build Your House Upon the Rock. So it was obvious to me that our goal of having a theme for camp and reinforcing that theme, not only in the Christian living classes, but in our activities, and by the counselors in their dorm discussions, has really helped our preteens better understand and better remember the camp theme. Next, I had a couple of pictures I used in my Christian living class, but first, I'd like to see if some of you, like me, remember pictures before cell phones had cameras on them. Now, some of you will remember this, and some of you will probably have no clue about what I'm talking about. Who remembers when you had to buy a camera and then go buy blank film to put in the camera, and then you had to buy flash bulbs or flash cubes to take pictures when it was darker? You had to be very selective of the pictures you took because each roll of film only had so many pictures on it, and they were expensive to have developed. When a roll of film was full, you would then take the film out of the camera and take it to the drugstore, put it in an envelope with your name on it, and leave it there for a couple of days. Then you would go back to the drugstore, pick up your pictures, take them home, and excitedly open the envelopes and slowly look at each picture, remembering the events and the places and the people in each picture. Now, sometimes I miss that anticipation of seeing those pictures after they were taken. Those of you who can remember those days probably can relate to what I'm talking about. Now, a quick story from when I was 12 years old. I know it's hard to remember that far back when you're my age. But for a feast gift when I was 12, my parents gave me a Kodak Instamatic camera with a camera case. I see some heads nodding. We remember that little Instamatic camera, coolest thing ever when we got it. I also got two rolls of film, and I got one of those packs of flash cubes. Remember the square flash cubes you put on to take flash pictures? So on a two-week trip for the feast that year, with sightseeing stops along the way, I had a total of 24 pictures that I could take to help me remember that year's feast trip. Some of you may have had similar experiences like that in your past years of feast keeping. Now today, I see people taking a half dozen pictures with their phones of the meal they're eating at a restaurant. I can assure you that none of my precious 24 pictures were of any of the food that I ate on that trip. Today we may have hundreds of pictures on our phones, most of which we may never look at again. Pictures, of course, can and do help us to remember things. So I had two pictures for the campers to look at in my Christian Living class and hopefully help them remember the main point of my class. So first in class, I put this picture up. I'll try to hope everybody can see it. It's a pretty good sized picture in a pretty narrow hall, so maybe that's visible. I put this picture up for the campers, had them look at it for a minute, and then I asked them to tell me, what do you see? And of course, the campers are looking at it and studying it, trying to figure out, what do I want them to tell me? Well, they said, well, we see clouds, we see kind of trees, we see rocks. And somebody said, well, maybe there's a mountain that's back behind there. But really, all we see is clouds. So when I held that picture up, I taped it up there for them. At the end of the conversation, basically, they said, it just looks like a bunch of clouds, and maybe there's a mountain or something behind that picture. Then I put this picture up for all of them, and I let them take a look at that for a minute. If I hold that up this way, the webcast can't even see me. So I held this up for them, and I said, what do you see? And I was surprised. 6- and 7-year-olds knew that that was a picture of Mount Rushmore in South Dakota. Some of them knew the four presidents' faces who were on that mountain in South Dakota. But they looked at that picture and they knew right away, we know what that is. And then I had both pictures up there together and I told them, these two pictures are of the same thing. They're both a picture of Mount Rushmore, the mountain where the presidents' faces are. This one, of course, vision is obscured by the clouds that are covering the mountain. This one, clear as can be, on a clear day, you can see the presidents. So we talked a little bit about that in my Christian Living class. And after seeing and comparing these two pictures, they understood how clouds can definitely keep us from seeing things clearly. Next, I asked them for some other physical things that can keep us from seeing clearly. They came up with a number of things like fog and rain and mist and smoke and even having your eyes closed or darkness. So we discussed that briefly and we agreed that not being able to physically see clearly or not having clear vision of what is in front of us can be very dangerous. We talked about how dangerous it would be if their counselors made them walk through the camp to their next activity with their eyes tightly closed and the things that could hurt them if they don't have clear vision. So we understood how dangerous it would be for them physically without clear vision to see where they were going. Next, we began to discuss how dangerous it can be for them spiritually and how they live their lives without clear vision of following God's way. Now, for my class, I wanted the campers to remember and to take home with them the concept that God's way is clear and Satan's way is cloudy. So to help them remember that, I told them they would need to yell out as loud as they could every time I gave them the signal to. Now, anytime you tell a group of 6 to 12-year-olds that they need to yell out loud in class, you have their attention. I'm sure that the teachers among us would agree with that statement. When you're that age, it's just cool to be able to yell out as loud as you can with your whole class or your dorm. So the signals for them to yell was if I said God's way, they would yell clear. If I said Satan's way, they would yell cloudy. So throughout the rest of my class, I would stop in the middle of a sentence and say, God's way, and they would yell clear. I would say, Satan's way, and they would yell cloudy. We did that probably 12 to 15 times from the end of, up until the end of my class in hopes that it helped them to remember that God's way is clear and Satan's way is cloudy. Then for the rest of the Christian living class, we discuss things that can cloud their vision of following God's way and what can help them to remove those clouds so they can have clearer vision and follow God's way in their lives in the years ahead. And 2 days after camp ended, on Friday, I received an email from a staff member whose 9-year-old daughter was a camper at Camp Arrowhead this year. She wrote in her email, "Please never underestimate the positive impact that camp has on our kids." The email had a picture attached. It was a picture of what her daughter wrote on the chalkboard in her room the morning after camp. She had written, "God's way clear, Satan's way cloudy," on her chalkboard. Although her daughter spelled Satan S-A-T-I-N, it appeared she remembered the main points. Now, for the remainder of this message, we're going to look at some points that can help us to check our spiritual vision. And as we do, I'd like us to consider this question. Is my spiritual vision clear, or is it cloudy? Is my spiritual vision clear, or is it cloudy? Matthew 7 and verse 14 tells us that the way to eternal life in God's family is through the narrow gate with trials, with difficulties and challenges along the way. But we need to have clear vision of that narrow path with the help of God's Spirit lighting the way for us to follow. Turn, if you would, with me back to Proverbs chapter 4. We'll start in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, we'll begin reading here in verse 18. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning in verse 18. "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter under the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Verse 22, "For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." These 10 verses are filled with wisdom and with encouragement that God's way is clear, that the path of life is clear, that His laws must be written on our hearts, that we must keep our eyes firmly focused on the goal, that we need to consider our path in life, that we need to keep our feet on that narrow path forward, and that we should not get distracted to the left or to the right. A passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6 reminds us how diligent we should be in following as well as in teaching God's way. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 6. And we'll read verses 1 through 9. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And we'll begin reading here in verse 1. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, Ryan, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And now in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. As we consider these verses and these clear instructions from God, we can ask ourselves the question, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? God's way is clear. Satan's way is cloudy. Turn, if you would, with me back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Familiar scripture, one of the bedrock scriptures for us. Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read just one verse, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. A top priority for us is to stay focused on God's kingdom and continue to grow in his righteousness in our lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I believe no other translations or no other further commentary is needed on this verse. Just a question, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? Continuing to develop our personal relationship with God and with our elder brother Jesus Christ is a key part of seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness. Daily prayer and personal Bible study are necessary for our spiritual growth and for clearer vision of God's way of life. Turn, if you would, back to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. Psalm 25, and we'll read verses 4 and 5. Psalm 25 and verse 4. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. Here David is beseeching God to show him his ways, to teach him his paths, and to lead him in your truth. We need to continually ask God to show us, to teach us, and to lead us by his truth found in the pages of his Bible. David isn't saying here, finally, I figured out the correct path in life. No, he wants God to show him, God to teach him, and to lead him in the correct path in life. We must constantly be on guard against the ways of this world, of the idea that everyone can do whatever they want, as long as it's not hurting anyone else. As it was in the days of the judges, so it is today in the world around us. Turn, if you would, back to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. Now, I know we read this verse last week, and after that I thought maybe I would take it out. But then I decided it would be okay if we read it again this week. So Judges chapter 17, and we'll read verse 6. Judges 17 and verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Our vision will be cloudy if we find ourselves doing what seems right in our own eyes. Clear vision is seeing things and doing things consistently by asking God for his guidance through prayer and using the Bible as our guide. God's word and his way should be the guide for our decisions in life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 and Luke 4 and verse 4, Christ said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Working daily on having a deeper relationship with God through prayer and study of his word helps us to have that clear vision in life. We all know how important prayer and the study of God's word is, but life sure does get busy at times, doesn't it? So we can ask, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? Another area where we can check our spiritual vision, God's way is clear, Satan's way is cloudy, is do we keep most of the commandments most of the time, or do we keep all of the commandments all of the time? Turn, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Back to the book of Deuteronomy. Of course, the Ten Commandments are found early in the book of Deuteronomy. We're going to read verse 29. Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me and always keep all my commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. God says here we should always keep all of his commandments. Psalm 119 and verse 165 said, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Keeping all of God's commandments will bring us peace and keep us on the narrow path to God's kingdom. Christ said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keeping God's laws shows our love for him and also for his ways. Solomon summed it up very succinctly at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. We'll read Solomon's words here at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and we'll read just verse 13. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Some other translations say this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. This is man's all. How are we doing at keeping all the commandments all the time? As we each think about this question, we can ask ourselves, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? Our next vision check is found in one of Christ's parables. The parable of the sower is explained in Matthew chapter 12 and also in Mark chapter 4. Let's turn to the account now in Mark chapter 4. Turn, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, and we'll read verses 18 and 19. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. These people are those who hear the word, but the cares and the distractions of this world, the desires for riches, the desires for other things, the desires for stuff, choke the word, and they become unfruitful. It seems that almost across the board, whether I'm talking to people in God's church or those not in the church, everyone seems to feel the stress and strain of the busyness of life today. Most everyone seems just on the brink of being totally overwhelmed with trying to keep up with everything week in and week out. Thankfully for us, God made the Sabbath rest each week a calm, a peaceful, a restful time from what at times may seem like the storminess of life throughout a regular week. Do the cares of this world sometimes choke us and make us unfruitful? Well, there are so many things around us that can distract us from seeking first God's kingdom and his righteousness that we must constantly be on guard against the many cares of this world that can and that will pull us away from God and from following his way of life. Let's turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11. We read similar verses earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll just read two verses here in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and we'll read just verses 18 and 19. Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We might ask ourselves, is it God's word and his way that occupies our thoughts when we rise up and when we lie down? Do we start our day with our cell phone, with our computer, or some other electronic devices? Do we sometimes end our day the same way? Or is it Facebook and TV and other media that occupies our thoughts in the morning and the evening each day? Are the many cares of this world at times making us unfruitful? The question for us is, my vision clear or is it cloudy? God's Holy Spirit is a powerful spiritual tool that we receive by the laying on of hands at baptism. It is the help that is vital in our lives to have clear vision of God, of His kingdom, and of His way. It is the helper that we must use to grow and overcome in our spiritual lives. It is a most precious gift from our Heavenly Father. Turn, if you would, to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Mr. Hawk, I'm going to go to the right side just in case. John chapter 14, and we'll read verses 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that it may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for it dwells with you and will be in you. And now skip down, if you would, to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, it will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. God's Holy Spirit, our Helper, must be actively at work in us, flowing through us as we mature spiritually. But just having God's Spirit is not the end of it, but it marks the beginning of a journey on the path to God's family. The Apostle Paul reminds us in his second epistle to Timothy of our ongoing responsibility once we've received the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is an action item that we must continually be working at. Turn, if you would, back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll read verses 6 and 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We can regularly ask God to fill us with His Spirit, to stir up His Spirit in us so we can have clear vision of His way. Is the gift of the Holy Spirit stirred up and working in our lives every day? Again, we can ask ourselves the question, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? There are many other areas of life that our vision needs to be clear. Following God's way, which is clear, and not following Satan's way, which is cloudy. Let's look at a few more areas that it's important for us to see God's way clearly as we grow toward having clearer spiritual vision. Now, something that is very easy to do, I would guess that all of us, maybe from time to time, are guilty of this, is being critical of others. It can be easy to do, but it can not only be hurtful, but it can put a strain on relationships. An area that fits here is being critical of the leadership God has placed over His church, both in the local churches as well as at headquarters. If we have the faith and the trust we need to know that God is in charge and that Christ is the head of God's church, then we will support and not criticize the leadership in the church. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4. Turn to a passage in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verses 11 through 16. And He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and some teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Not criticizing others not only helps us to grow spiritually, but it also promotes growth for the church, which is the body of Christ. Being critical of others often boils down to being judgmental of them. Let's read a parable from Christ on this subject in Matthew chapter 7. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. Judge not, that you be not judged. For what with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. I can remember over the years, I think years ago in one of the Bible stories, Basil Wolverton drew a picture of a guy with this honking 2x4 hanging out of his eye, banging into stuff, trying to look at the speck in his brother's eye. And I can still see that picture in that Bible story. And I know Mr. Doug Johnson has used that analogy before as well. So Christ here is admonishing us not to have clouded vision, not to be judgmental and critical of others. In verse 5, Christ says that the first and most important thing is to evaluate and work on ourselves. Then we can have clear vision to be of better service to others. Being quick to criticize others while we have a plank in our own eye is a good visual for clouded vision. The question for us, is my vision clear or is it cloudy? There are many more areas of spiritual growth where we can check our spiritual vision. Here are just a few more areas that we can evaluate in our own lives to see if our spiritual vision is clear, following God's way, or is it cloudy, which is Satan's way. Here are just a few questions we may want to ask or think about, jot them down and think about them maybe in the week ahead. Do I keep God's Sabbath holy every week from sundown to sundown? Do I keep God's Sabbath holy every week from sundown to sundown? Am I winning the battle against my pride, and am I growing in humility? Am I winning the battle against my pride, and am I growing in humility? Do I actively look for and serve the needs of others, especially those of the household of faith? Do I actively look for and serve the needs of others, especially those of the household of faith? Do I daily thank God for all the blessings that He pours out on me? Do I daily thank God for all the blessings that He pours out on me? Do I share the blessings God gives me with others? Do I share the blessings God gives me with others? Is my light shining quietly, or is my horn blowing loudly? Is my light shining quietly, or is my horn blowing loudly? As we think about these questions and what our answers are, we will have taken a spiritual vision test, and it will help us see if our vision is clear or if it is cloudy. Now, in my Christian living classes, we talk more about how God's way is clear and Satan's way is cloudy. We talked about our goal as camp staff is for them to go home and see the clear path of God's way for them to follow in their lives ahead. I talked about the fact that God's way, His plan, is not complicated. Now, it certainly is difficult and it certainly is challenging to live God's way in Satan's world, but the formula is not complicated. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. We're here in Matthew. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we'll read verses 34 through 40. Matthew 22 and verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." The first great commandment is about our relationship with God, showing love towards God. This is the first four commandments that God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai. The second great commandment is about our relationships with others, showing love towards our fellow man. The last six commandments are showing love and outgoing concern towards others. We then took it down to one word in our class, to relationships, and how important they are in our lives. Developing strong and healthy relationships with God first and with other people gives us clear vision of God's way and of His plan. Following God's way in Satan's world is certainly difficult and is certainly challenging for all of us, but the formula is not complicated. It is continuing to grow in love in our relationship with God, and it is showing love and kindness, respect, and honor to those we come in contact with. Other areas of spiritual growth are needed too, but as we read in verse 40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What was our spiritual vision like this past week? Was it clear or was it cloudy? What will our spiritual vision be like in the week ahead? Will it be clear or will it be cloudy? God's way is clear. The choice is up to us.